Alright, hello and welcome to episode 3 of Two Guys Gaming. Don't ask what happened to episode 2. It's not really that long of a story, it's just not worth telling. So we'll just go with this being episode 3.
I have a theory. That scene, and the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. I think our podcast is in that warehouse.
That's a possibility. Maybe you can come up with some of your own listeners and let us know what you think. Happened to episode 2. For now, we'll just go on with episode 3. On this episode, we're going to take a melancholy look back at the World of Warcraft trading card game. We'll also take another walk down memory lane in the digital playground. This one happier, because we're going to look at some Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, games that have been part of our lives for the better part of too long to mention.
Yeah.
But they're great games, so we'll talk about them. Before we get on to that, we'll just talk about what's been going on since we last recorded. So, Chris, is there anything that you want to discuss or announce?
Not much. I mean, as I'm sure our listeners know, we haven't really been able to contribute that much to the website. We've kind of been overwhelmed with work. You know how it goes, Christmas season, holidays, lots of time with the family, just not enough time to really focus on gaming. You?
The main reason that I haven't been putting much on the website is because I took a part-time job at UPS to kind of fill in some of the money that we spent over the summer. So I was getting up at 2, 3 in the morning. Sometimes I was getting up at 11 the night before, so it felt like I was working third shift again, which I told myself I would never do, but, you know, you do what you have to make ends meet. Actually, it's been kind of cool. I initially just started as a part-time thing, but they've been talking more about keeping me on as full-time, part-time, they call it, and it's something that I've definitely been considering. It'll be tough to work around my school schedule, but if they can work around the school schedule, then it'll be something that will definitely, I guess, be a part of the at least near future. I don't know how much longer it'll go on from there. So, what about gaming? You have any exciting gaming news?
I picked up some, you know, some cool stuff for Christmas. My family knows my gaming addiction, so they made sure I was rained down with plenty of gaming goodness. I got the, I don't know if any of our listeners have heard of it, the Hyperkin Retron 2 system plays Super Nintendo and Nintendo. I really recommend that system. I have yet to find a game that doesn't work on it. I also got a couple oldie but goodie PlayStation 2 games, and I got a few new Xbox 360 games, including South Park Stick of Truth, which, if you get a chance, pick it up. Can't play it in front of your kids, but it's actually really good. It's like a very crude Japanese role-playing game. It's same battle system. It's definitely worth a look if you get a chance.
That's what I heard about that game. I heard that it's actually, not only is it funny and whatever because of South Park, but that it's actually a well-put-together game.
It really is. I love South Park. I got it for that reason, just to have it, because I was hearing, you know, from all the other gaming sites that are not as good as ours, that it was decent, and I figured, I'll just take a shot anyways, and I do not regret it one bit. It's really well put together. Definitely worth picking up.
That's great. I mean, maybe I have to check that out. I think they have it on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much it costs at this point, but it's definitely something that I'll check out.
Yeah.
On your recommendation.
Yeah. Keep the boys out of the room, you'll be all set.
Yeah. No kidding, right?
But you don't have to hide your kids or hide your wife from this month's tabletop. In fact, invite them to play, because the more the merrier when you come to raid Ice Crown.
Okay, this month on the tabletop, as we mentioned, we're going to talk about the World of Warcraft trading card game. It's a game very much like Magic in that it uses 60-card decks and you have 7-card hands, but that's pretty much where the similarities end and the differences. We'll talk about some of the differences. We'll talk about the things that we like about it. We'll talk about the things that maybe we don't like about it. There's not much, spoiler alert, but there's one big thing that we'll talk about at the end that really we, not that we don't like, but just that makes the game very difficult to become a part of the regular rotation, as it were.
I found out the game, actually through you, really, because I remember you'd mentioned that you had bought a box of starter decks. And at the time, I was still kind of new to Magic, like to my reintroduction to Magic, so I kind of just pushed it off to the back burner, but, it's such a shame that this game is gone. It really is. It's such a well-designed game, and it's really sad that it couldn't coexist with its digital counterpart, but.
Well, anytime we play the game, anytime we talk about playing the game, anytime I start looking at cards, anytime that I really get into it, I mean, I've always been a fan of World of Warcraft. I know that you don't play it, but I've been playing it since, goodness, I want to say, came out in 2004, I think. I've been playing it probably since 2006, 2007, something like that. So I've been playing it for 7 years now, and I've always been a fan of it. And then as I started to get back into Magic, as you said, I found out about this game. I don't remember how. I was probably just searching on the internet or something like that, and I found it. And I picked up some of the starter decks for it, and I never really got into it. It was just one of those things where I had them, you know, just like you buy things and you have them when you're a collector.
You see it for a good price. It seems like a great idea at the time.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and yeah. It just sits in your closet, or it sits in the side of the room, or it bothers your wife because it's in the way or whatever. But then we played once, I think. You built a couple of decks because then you finally picked up some cards and you built a couple of decks. And I used a couple of the starter decks that I had tweaked a little bit, but it wasn't really anything that we had gotten into. And we both agreed that we liked the game, but then something else happened. I don't know if cons came out or whatever happens that happens when we just get back into Magic really deep again. And then it just kind of got pushed off to the side. And we didn't play it for a while, but we both said, you know, this is a really cool game. And then I think you picked up Hearthstone and you started playing Hearthstone, and you were the first one to make the connection between the two of them where, like, the art is identical from one to the other.
Yeah, they recycle it.
Yeah, they just recycled the art from one to the other, which makes sense because you already have the art, you've already paid for it, why pay somebody else? But at the same time, it feels a little cheap because...
It's a little lazy, I'll be honest.
It's extremely lazy. I was just looking at cards yesterday for the World of Warcraft trading game, and I said, oh, this is a card that's in... Or this is an art that's in Hearthstone now, too. And it just you make that connection, you're just like, they're making more money off of something, you know, it's as you said, they're recycling the idea, but they're making more money off of something that's already been done, which seems a little cheap to me, especially for a company that is presumably as large as Blizzard is, where they're hiring again. I guess that's one of the notifications on their website, is that they're hiring again, so they're growing, so they're obviously making money somewhere.
Of course,
it just feels cheesy for a company like that to just take the old art and just recycle it into a new game. And you can't blame them for it necessarily because, you like I say, you already paid for the license and everything. So,
yeah.
You know, who cares ultimately? But it's just one of those things where it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And so cons came out and we played that for a while, Magic for a while. And then, as happens, after a couple of months, you know, playing the same game, it gets a little bit old and you're playing the same decks and you can't really think of ways to tweak them. And you don't really have time to tweak them because, you know, as you said, the holiday season was just crazy for both of us.
You know, and I think what got us interested in it was the fact that we created this website, we created this podcast, and to kind of keep everyone informed and have fun stuff to talk about. You have to try every game out there. And we figured, hey, we already have all these cards. Let's put some more decks together and let's try it out. And it did not disappoint.
No, it didn't disappoint. It's funny. It took us a little while to actually get into it, not only because of Magic, but also I just remember that I kept having like fits and starts when I would try to build a deck. I just, for some reason, I couldn't get my mind around away from the Magic because, as I said, it's like Magic where you build 60 card decks and that sort of thing, but that's pretty much where it ends, because instead of having 20 life, you have heroes that you have to pick.
Yeah.
So that's, and instead of going to a color, you go to the hero, and the hero determines what cards you can use and what cards you can't use and that sort of thing.
Yeah, depending on their class, Warlock, Shaman.
And it's the same classes that are from World of Warcraft, so they have all of those different, and they have the same kinds of sets of abilities that they do in the game, where a Shaman can be a healer, or it can be a damage dealer, a mage can have fire or frost powers or arcane powers, that sort of thing.
Right.
So it's very similar in that fashion, but at the same time, when you're used to Magic, when you're like, well, I know if I want to be a control player, it's generally blue is my primary color, and then I can pull in some white and maybe some green and occasionally some black.
Yeah.
You know, when you get into this and you're thinking, well, if I want to build a control deck, what class do I pick? You know, you might think warrior can be a protection tanky kind of class, so maybe that's protection, or maybe that's rather control. Paladin definitely has some control aspects to it.
Yeah.
So I started thinking into the Hearthstone mindset a little bit because, as we said, you know, it borrows somewhat heavily from it, you know, art and
I find Hearthstone to be a kind of a toned-down version of World of Warcraft.
Oh, it's absolutely toned down. Hearthstone is...
It's a simplified version, basically.
It's a much simpler game. I mean, there are control, quote-unquote, decks in Hearthstone, but... Again, games that go, you know, 30 or more turns are rare. You know, it's generally, the game is over. I was just playing today again, because I pick it up. Every day I do the daily quest or whatever to get gold and buy a pack if I can, just because...
Why not?
They've actually, of all the digital card games that I've played, they've actually gotten that anticipation of opening a pack right, where... You know, you open the pack and then the cards are like hovering there and you can hover over it to see like if it turns orange or purple or blue or something like that. And you're like, ooh, that's a rare, that's a legendary, that's a whatever. Yeah.
Oh, you see? I didn't know that shit.
Yeah. You can hover over the card and it'll have a little aura around it that'll tell you what kind of card it is. So that's kind of cool. And so I'll do that. And, you know, games are generally decided, even if they're not decided, they're generally decided by turn 5 or 6. You know who's going to win, and you can just say, well, I'm not going to go through this anymore. You know, just auto-concede and move on to the next game by turn 5 or 6. So it's definitely, much simplified version, but it borrows a lot of the techniques and whatnot. So I started going back to that and thinking, well, you know, what are the classes there that you can build a control deck? What are the classes there that you build an aggro deck and that sort of thing? So I started to pull some from Hearthstone, and then, you know, I talked to you a couple times about it, and I'm just like, I'm having trouble making decks, and, I just look at these cards, and it just feels so overwhelming, because it, you know, you have 9 different classes instead of 5 different mana colors.
Yeah, yep.
But even with the mana colors, you can put them together and make however many different possibilities that you can make. I mean, just for Ravnica, they put 2 colors together, and they made 10 different guilds. For Khans, they put 3 colors together, they made 5 different, so right there, that's 15, plus the single colors. So, you know, I guess you have the same kind of thing, but it's just not being used to it. And I was just having trouble jumping in, and you just said, well, you gave me the advice of just, well, go with a certain mechanic.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, some of the mechanics they have are, I mean, they're similar to the Magic where, you know, they have Protector, although that's not really...
Yeah, that's people who played Hearthstone will recognize Protector as being Taunt.
Right.
Like, where basically you have to attack that character first. Or you don't even have to target that character. You say, I want to attack your hero, and it doesn't matter.
Right. The other person can choose to intercept that attack with the protector. Right.
Yeah, the mechanics, a lot of them are the same, they just have a different name in Hearthstone as compared to World of Warcraft. And that's actually a big thing with World of Warcraft, is the combat is very different. Like,
that's true, right?
It's a lot more... In depth, I guess, even compared to Magic, to be honest with you. Because you target, you have to strategize, like, okay, I want to take that guy out, I want to take that guy out, you know, like, there's a lot to it, and I think it's a really good thing, and some games it can actually make it really drawn out, and...
Well, that's what I found about our games in World of Warcraft, is that they definitely lasted longer than the games in Magic do, because... As you said, as the attacker, you choose who you attack. And you can choose to go completely aggro and just go straight for the hero.
Yeah.
But, again, then that's really putting it onto the other person, you know. That's giving the other person the initiative almost, because then they can decide...
I'm going right to your face.
Right, they can, yeah. Well, they can go to your face or they can start picking your allies off while you're going to their face, you know, and that's, that shares, again, it shares some DNA with Hearthstone there where as the, you're the aggressor, so you get to choose whether you're going to go face or whether you're going to trade, that sort of thing.
Yep.
It's different from Magic where you attack and then the other person chooses to block based on the similar kind of strategies and whatnot. But yeah, the game has definitely lasted longer. I noticed that. That was one thing. And sometimes they felt a little bit drawn out, but at the same time, I guess it's bad because you don't get as many games in, but for somebody like me, I don't mind that every now and then, especially when, you know, some of the Magic games just feel like face rolls because either you get mana screw or mana flood or something like that, which is one of the advantages of the World of Warcraft game is that there is no mana screw unless it somehow works for your advantage. I don't understand how that would. Instead of mana, you have resources that you build. There's two types of resources. One is a quest, which you play face up. And it works basically like mana. You tap it to play your spells and your creatures and stuff like that. But with the spells, or with the quests, rather, it actually has another effect that you can do if you have enough mana to pay for it.
Draw cards.
Which is pretty cool. You can draw cards with it. You can do all kinds of other things. So again, that adds to the strategy of it where you're thinking, you know, do I want to use this as a quest right now or do I want to save it or that sort of thing. So that adds to the strategy of the game as well.
Let's be honest. I think the most frustrating part of Magic is when you get mana screwed or you're flooded because you basically sit there and I basically stare daggers at you while you pound the hell out of me because there's nothing I can do. It just, you feel helpless and it kind of, it ruins the game a little bit. I think it kind of defeats the purpose of the game as a competition. I mean, that's why we came up with the Hearthstone rules, which you can find on our website. It's a new mode of Magic that we created. Check it out. I think we created it. I'm saying we created it. Whatever. If anyone asks, we created it.
That's right.
Yep.
Trademark, copyright.
Yep. Right here. Two Guys Gaming.
That's right. Yeah, the Hearthstone, that was actually kind of cool because we got to, it was the same kind of ramp where it was a consistent ramp. So you play a mana card from your mana deck and then you can play your spells and your creatures just like you do in Hearthstone and just like you do in World of Warcraft. I said that quests are one way that you can build resources. The other way that you can build resources is that you can take another card, play it face down, and it acts just like mana as well, but it's removed effectively from the game.
Which can be a problem.
Which can be a problem, right? Because if you have a creature, if you don't have any mana, rather quests, and you want to play something, then you have to decide, well, do I trade this for this, or do I wait to see if I'm going to get a quest maybe that I could play as a resource? Or do I just, you know, go all in?
There's just a lot of, in every aspect of the game, there's just a lot of strategy. And that's just one, I mean, how often in Magic do you look at your hand and be like, oh, do I have to sacrifice, you know?
Right.
Like, it doesn't happen that often. Well, every game of Warcraft, like, unless your deck is built perfectly and you get perfect draws and you always have quests in your hand, like, you're going to have to make those decisions. It becomes kind of a chess match at that point. You have to anticipate if what your opponent has, if throwing that card down is going to be a huge issue later on in the game. Like, because I know there's been a couple games that we've played where we've kind of gone back and forth, and I've had to throw cards down face down, and those cards are actually part of my deck strategy. It's part of like one of the winning keys of my deck, and it's gone. You can't get it back.
Well, that's the thing. If a guy's coming at you balls to the wall aggro and you're not quite getting the draw that you need to get and you have to trade something that would help you later on for something right now, then you're just staring at that card thinking, that would help right now. I could really use that card right now as a protector or something like that. To keep you from just busting in my hero's face and constantly, or you know, maybe it was a heal spell that you thought, well, I don't need a heal spell, my guy has 35 health or whatever, and then the guy's just like throwing murlocs on the board with pumping him up and busting you for 10 damage a turn. You're like, oh yeah, I could use that 18 health right about now. But yeah, definitely every aspect of the game is strategy. You said in Magic you don't have to think about sacrificing, you know, unless it's part of your deck, because you have a couple decks, and I have a few decks that we've built with that strategy, where it's like, well, do I play this guy now? Do I burn this guy? Do I, because it's about graveyard manipulation, or it's about card manipulation, or whatever, where, you know, if you sack this guy, then you can get another land in play, or, you know, do I wait? Do I do that now, or do I wait? Do I use him as a blocker? That sort of thing. So, there is some of that in Magic, but as you said, it's every time you're staring at your hand, and unless you have the quest to play as a resource, if you want to play something now, you have to think, well, do I want to sacrifice this guy now, or do I want to hope? Just like I said before, and just like you said, and then it really does become that back and forth between, well, what I think he's going to do, what does he think I'm going to do, what I want him to think that I'm going to do, and kind of try to outplay the other. And that's more what I like about the game, as opposed to, the game doesn't have to go 20, 25 turns, but when you have that interaction between the two players where it's just a constant back and forth of, as you said, it's like a chess match, because if you make a mistake early in the game, then you might not know it at the time that it's a mistake, or you might know that it's a mistake, but it turns out to be a big mistake by the time it gets to the end, and you're thinking, oh, well, I could have really used that extra 5 health to get through to the next turn to finish him off before he did his thing that he had to do.
Exactly. I really like the fact that the card draws, they're more abundant in Warcraft than in Magic, where most quests are actually going to let you draw more cards once you pay the cost, which is really nice. It helps you find the cards that you need, and it makes the games just a lot more interesting in general. I mean, it's most of our games have been pretty competitive, like gone back and forth, and the card draws, I mean, they've saved me numerous amounts of times. I mean, it's just such a cool aspect of the game, the quests and the resource row. I mean, just everything's so well put together, and it's just really sad that it's gone now. I mean,
that's the big con that I referred to at the beginning, and you sort of alluded to earlier, is that the game is no longer in production. Blizzard decided that they were going to kill it when they came out with Hearthstone.
Assholes.
Which is, it's a very upsetting, because the game is so well put together. The game has so many things going for it. And I wrote in the article that I wrote about the trading card game in anticipation for this, just to kind of bounce some ideas around, is that it felt like they killed it right when it was sort of not necessarily reaching its peak, but sort of coming into its own. I don't know how to explain it, but just some of the cards towards the end that you look at, some of the cards and some of the heroes and some of the different ways that they were playing with the game and making it even more different from Magic so that it could stand on its own as a physical thing. And you said even now it's, you know, still the second most popular trading card game over in Europe.
It is, yeah. I mean, in August it will be 3 years since it was discontinued. And they still have world championships over there. There's still websites devoted to it. It's big over there. A lot of people don't want to let it go. I mean, unfortunately, reality will set in.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of expansion sets out there, but that's it. What's out there is out there. There is now a limited number of cards out there for you.
Right, and once that supply or whatever dries up, then that's it, because they're not being made anymore, they're not being produced anymore, they're not being expanded upon anymore. And I, even in doing a little bit of research for the show, I found an online client that allows you to play the World of Warcraft trading card game, and it's the same kind of thing. You know, there's this, I don't know how large the community is, because I haven't really gotten into it, but it's at least large enough that it has its own subreddit where, you know, people talk about it. And, you know, the thing that, as you said, the thing that, because I keep saying, I wish there was a way to keep it going. I wish there was a way to, you know, keep people interested and stimulated by it. And maybe, I don't know, through some miracle, have it brought back or have it sort of, some sort of offshoot come from it. But, I mean, you've seen card games come and go, and Magic seems to be the one that just sort of keeps going for whatever reason, because that's Wizards, and I guess Hasbro's now sort of moneymaker for that particular division, is that Magic, you know, just feeds on itself and just keeps going because you keep getting new players. Like, my kids now, you know, are into Magic, and they're into Pokemon, and they're into that sort of thing. So you constantly have that feeder base of people coming in. And, you know, Blizzard could have had that as well, but they went the digital route.
From a financial, I guess, point of view, it makes sense. Because it's cheaper just to have this digital game out there instead of worrying about printing cost and packaging and all that. You don't have to worry about that.
But what do you do, right? What do you do when you have this mountain of cards that are printed and they're just sitting at Toys R Us or they're just sitting at the gaming store?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they've already paid the licensing fees or whatever at the gaming store to have the cards, but, you know, what do you do if you have a mountain of cards sitting at your warehouse that nobody wants type thing? Whereas digital content, it's just created right then and there.
Right.
So I go and I buy a pack and it gives me five cards and I open those five cards and those five cards are now mine, quote unquote. They're in my collection, quote unquote, but it's not that they have to, they just have to generate the points or whatever to...
Yeah, they create it.
And again, they already have the servers and everything set up for their other games, so, you know, you just put this little client somewhere on the server and it creates the cards and everything. Yeah, I mean, I can't blame them for going the digital route. It's just that, I guess it's the sort of, you look at it now that I didn't get into it at the time, and now that it's gone, you can't really get into it, so you're kind of looking at it from that point of view where...
Yeah, it's tough.
It's, you're mourning it, even though you never really knew it type thing. It's one of those weird kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you can get the booster boxes for $20, $30. I mean, the only reason they're even holding that value is because there's loot cards that you can use actually in the Warcraft game.
You can sell to Crazy World of Warcraft people who are looking for the pets or the mounts or whatever.
Yeah, they want to pay $700 for a Spectral Tiger card. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, more power to them. If you happen on one, get your $700.
Yeah. Sell that bitch and run. But, yeah, I mean... It's a great game. If you get a chance, it's worth picking up a starter deck. I'm not saying that everyone should go out and build this huge collection, but the point we're trying to make is it's definitely worth taking a look and playing a few games. Get a buddy. It's cheap. There's, you know, it's just such a low investment.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's definitely worth the payoff.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're like us and you get in between those Magic expansions and... You know, it's just not doing it for you anymore because you're playing the same decks and you just haven't had time to rearrange them. Then, yeah, definitely pick up a couple of our starter decks, get a friend or two. We didn't even talk about the raid decks because we didn't get a chance to play them, but those are also out there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll talk about them in a future podcast if we get a chance to play around with them. And
Yeah,
you can just pick up, I don't know how much the starter decks are now. I haven't even looked at them, but you can probably get them. As you said, you can get a booster box for $20.
Yeah.
And you can build a decent deck for... $20, a couple of decks for $20, and just get a friend, and I'd definitely say if you get a chance, check it out.
They may have killed the WoW TCG, but as we'll discuss in this month's Digital Playground, Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat are still very much alive.
The Digital Playground.
Alright, so this month on the Digital Playground, we're going to talk about Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter. The kingpins of 2D fighters.
2D fighters that later went into 3D. We'll talk about that maybe later, I don't know. Maybe we'll just talk about the 2D versions because
that's the 3D sort of, ones sucked.
Right. The 2D was when they were in their heyday, and that's sort of when... Well, that's definitely when we were introduced to the games because that's when the games were introduced. Now, I remember, and again, memory is the worst eyewitness, but... I remember being introduced to Mortal Kombat, Kevin was in the non-existent episode 2 of the podcast.
He actually exists, though.
He does exist.
Yep.
We were down in Maryland, we were visiting his father for a couple of weeks that turned into a summer. And we went into the arcade, this was sort of our days, was we would go to the arcade or we would go to the comic book store. And on this particular day we went into the arcade. And we were talking earlier, and I was saying about how before Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter came into my arcade life, I can't remember the types of games that I was playing before that. You know, it was sort of like this watershed moment of, wow, this is a whole new type of game. It's competitive. You can play against a friend, or the thing that generally happened was there was a group of people who would get around the machine and they would put their quarters up and it'd be like, okay, it's your turn. And, you know, you would go on as long as you could until you got beat by somebody, and then somebody would come take your place,
mm-hmm.
which was a cool, different kind of thing with the games. And I couldn't remember the games that I had played just before this game took over my arcade life. I remembered playing Gauntlet and stuff years before that when I first started to hit the arcades, but then it was just like, it was almost like a switch went on and it was like, well, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, that's the reason that I went to the arcade. And that's where I first learned about Mortal Kombat, was in this arcade in Maryland, and we saw some guy playing it, and he had obviously played it before because he was, you know, pulling off all these different moves and doing all this crazy stuff. And then at the end it said finish him, and he like ripped this guy's head off, or he punched his head off, or he ripped his heart out or something like that. And Kevin and I just looked at each other and we said, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, this game is awesome. Yeah.
Ripping heads off and punching heads off and stuff like that. So that's where I got introduced to Mortal Kombat. What about you?
I never played it in the arcade. I got introduced because I had a buddy who came over and he actually rented it from a video game store in the small town I grew up in. And the first one, if everyone remembers, didn't have blood. It was just kind of weird. There was like no blood at all. And we figured out the blood code, so what we'd do is we'd wait until my parents would leave the room, and then we'd punch in the blood code real quick. We'd play a couple fights, and now it's so funny because then it seemed like such a taboo thing, like, oh my god, like there's blood, I punch him in the face and there's blood everywhere, oh my god. But it was so unrealistic, like looking back at it, like the blood is so unrealistic looking, it's ridiculous. But we used to have to hit reset when someone would come back in the room, like, oh, we don't know the blood code, I don't know what you're talking about. It was funny because his dad caught on to the fact that there was a blood code, so his dad would like sneak back in the room, like, you guys don't know that blood code, right? No, we don't know it, we don't know it. It's like, alright, your dad's gone. Put that shit in, let's do this. Let's play this game for real. This isn't Mario, let's do this. That was, we played that game, I mean, we must have re-rented that game about 8-9 times in a row and just played it probably for a month and a half, 2 months straight. That was, like you said, that was like the video game life at that point in time.
Yeah, it's crazy how it just came in, and it's not even that complicated of a game. Especially the first one, you know, it was jump kick and you had a couple of special moves per guy, and the appeal, and I guess it's the appeal still, because we've played a couple of Mortal Kombat games more recently, some of the more recent ones, and I guess the appeal is still, well, now there's a couple of different things because they have the X-ray moves, which are kind of cool to pull off.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not terribly realistic, as you said, you're stabbing people in the eyes with knives fans and stuff like that, and they're just like, okay, that's fine.
Oh, I'm fine, I'm back up.
I'm back up, yeah, we'll do this.
Yeah.
But there's that, and then the appeal then, as now, as I said, was when that finish him flashes up there, if you can pull off that move or whatever to finish the guy and do the fatality, then that's always been the appeal of the game. And it's funny how that has had legs for as long as it has, where it's essentially, you know, the same thing. Like I said, it's ripping a guy's head off, or it's punching a guy, or, you know, there was the one where the guy ripped his leg off and beat the other guy to death, which is, you know, pretty cool. But it's funny how that kind of, it's funny how you mentioned the blood code, because I had a Super Nintendo, I think I had both a Super Nintendo and a Sega Genesis, and the graphics were better on the Super Nintendo. They were more faithful to the arcade on the Super Nintendo, but
there was no
blood at all.
There's no blood code
No blood code, no blood or anything. Yeah, it was just, they called it quote unquote sweat.
Yeah.
Whenever you hit the guy, sweat would come off, and the finishing moves, I don't even remember the finishing moves. It was like the same kind of sprite animation, but it was different. Like, you punched the guy in the chest instead of ripping his heart out, and he fell over or something like that.
Yeah, Yep. Like really ridiculous stuff right, like that. Yeah. Yeah. I had no interest in the Super Nintendo version. It's all about the Genesis version just because of the blood code. ABACABB.
There you go.
See that? I am 35 years old and I remember that.
That is funny. I don't remember, I don't think I played it on the Genesis. I think the first time I played it on Sega was on Kevin's Sega CD, which was pretty cool because it had all of the actual arcade sound effects and everything because it was on a CD so it could handle the stereo sound and everything. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. But I think by then they had gotten over their whole Tipper Gorification of it and it was blood. You didn't have to put a blood code or anything like that. It was just blood right from the get-go. So it's funny. Now, Street Fighter, for me, I don't remember Street Fighter as clearly. I think it just became sort of one of those things where I found it in a roundabout way, because there were too many people piled around the Mortal Kombat machine or something like that, and I was looking for something else to play in the meantime, because I didn't feel like fighting my way in or whatever. And then I found it. What I do remember is I do remember seeing the original Street Fighter, Street Fighter 1, after having played Street Fighter 2. Have you ever played Street Fighter 1?
That is a dumpster fire of a game.
I do not understand how a second game was even made, let alone a second game plus all of the semi-sequels or quasi-sequels to that game after the first game, because I do remember stumbling upon the first game and thinking, oh, hey, Street Fighter 1, plugging a quarter in and immediately regretting it.
Where's the goddamn refund button?
Exactly. Come on. Did I really just waste a quarter on this? I could have been playing pinball or something.
I remember playing Street Fighter because in the small town where I grew up again, there was a corner store a couple streets over, and it was like the arcade was like known kind of gang territory, and I use gang in like the loosest term possible. It was a bunch of white kids, and they basically all wore like Chicago Bulls jackets, and that was their gang, the Bulls. It was ridiculous. It just absolutely ridiculous. But anyways, they basically like owned the arcade. Like they would just hang out there after school if they went to school, and that's where they hang out. So my parents are very like, stay out of the arcade. You know, it's just trouble. But I remember going into the store and just kind of looking into the back room and seeing, you know, this new shiny machine and just seeing, you know, Street Fighter, and no one was in there. And I was like, I couldn't help myself. So went in there and popped in a quarter, and it was that game, I think, changed my gaming life more than Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
I mean, that game was just ridiculous. I mean, for obviously the first game I played, you can't choose difficulty on an arcade machine, so I got the crap stomped out of me like I owed them money. Like, it was insane, but I still remember, like, the first day I pulled off a fireball, because those motions were, that was like the first time there was like controller motions to pull off special moves.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Street Fighter came out before Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter 2 at least, and all the subsequent, as you said, semi new versions. Ridiculous. But anyways, so from that point I made it a habit to always sneak in there, and it turned out the kids in the Bulls jackets were not really threats at all. They were pansies just like me.
That's funny.
The only fighting we did was on the Street Fighter. That was it. I mean, it was just one of those childhood memories that it's never left me. And as you know, I mean, I essentially have a majority of all the Street Fighter games. I make a point to get them, even though I grumble and bitch and complain about, oh my God, this is just downloadable content, and you know, like this, a whole new edition. Come on, charge me $30 for this. But Capcom has found a sucker for life.
Well, that's funny. They make the game, and it's essentially the same game, and you can pretty much figure out what the moves are for each of the new characters or for anything, because they're pretty much the same as the old characters, you know, like a fireball or any kind of fireball motion is always the same fireball motion.
Yeah.
But So it's easy to jump into. I think that's why it endures for as long as it is, because, you know, you pick up a Marvel versus Capcom and you know immediately that if you do a fireball motion, it's probably going to do something. And if it's not that, then you have to do some sort of charge motion because that's their other famous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you try charging, you try fireball, you try the semicircle, you try all this other crazy stuff, and eventually you're going to find something that works, and then you're just going to keep doing that move over and over again until you start to develop another move and then develop a strategy for that particular character. For me, Street Fighter was the same kind of thing. It had more of an appeal than Mortal Kombat, because it was different in that you could see that there was a strategy involved. Like, with you, it was the same kind of thing, where you play against the computer a couple of times, and then I played against somebody who actually knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing, I just got stomped. Like, just, I don't think I got a hit on him the entire time. And then I went and I started reading up on it, and they were talking about how you can chain your attacks together, you know, to make these combos, because combos were pretty much non-existent in Mortal Kombat. It was just, you string together a couple moves, and if the guy blocks it, then...
Yeah. Let's be honest, a combo in Mortal Kombat was jump kick, sweep, uppercut.
Right.
That was the combo.
Yeah, and that was only because the guy didn't block, because
right.
He forgot where the block button was or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, with Street Fighter, you could string your moves together, and you could actually create combos, and this was before the Killer Instinct hit with their Ultra 70 hit combos or whatever they were called, and everybody started sort of jumping in on that bandwagon. You know, this was when you literally had to jump, jab, jab, uppercut.
That
was the combo. Yeah, yeah. But it was something to pull that off because Dragon Punch, not uppercut.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was something or your short kick, hurricane kick.
Yeah.
You know, you pulled something like that off, and it was only a 3-hit combo, but felt like you accomplished something because...
You were proud of yourself. Right, exactly. You wanted to pause the game at that point.
Exactly.
And do a little
You just wanted to just...
Drop the controller and walk away.
Just walk away from the machine and just be like, yep, I did that.
Done.
That was my 3-hit combo. I win.
You're my bitch. You sit down when you pee.
That's right. I win. You lose. I don't care what this scoreboard says.
Yeah.
I just won.
Yeah. I remember I had a friend from school, Tim, and when I first started, like, we got a Super Nintendo at my house, and that was, like, a big deal. And, you know, he picked up, I think at that point, it was, like, the Street Fighter 2 Hyper Turbo something crazy like that. I don't know how one was. But he came over, and, you know, he kept saying how good he was at it. All right, we'll play, you know. And at that point, I really hadn't figured out any special moves.
Right.
So I was just basically, you know, jump kick, get in there, and start jabbing away. And it was annoying as hell because all he kept doing was the E-Honda, the flying headbutt. He just kept doing that to me. And I didn't have an answer. I tried block, but still took, like, a little bit of power, and he just kept doing it. From one side of the screen to the other. And it was out of desperation that I finally figured out, like you mentioned, the Dragon Punch. Finally figured that out, and I just dragon punched him right out of it. And I'm like, oh yeah, and then I jumped down and jabbed the snot out of him. But, yeah, I just wanted to drop the controller. Where's your headbutt now?
But, yeah, it's funny when you figure those things out where you figure out the hard counter to it, and you got it at just the right spot where you know you're going to take it out. You know, now it's less about, well, maybe it's more, it's the same about, the same as far as timing goes, but it seemed like then it was more about timing. I don't know, maybe I'm just sounding like an old guy get off my lawn type thing.
Bastard kids on their skateboards.
Yeah, get off my lawn, exactly.
No, nowadays it's actually, the timing is different because to pull off, like, combos, you're actually entering, like, controls way ahead.
Yeah.
Like, even before that next hit lands, you're already entering your next button commands, and that's how you pull off, like, the crazy. I don't know if anyone's seen those YouTube videos of those wacky Japanese kids pulling off, like, 300 hit combos in Marvel versus Capcom 3.
Yeah, the Evo videos or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How hard do you have to practice at that?
I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
I just stumbled upon an Evo stream one time, and it's, like, it's crazy to watch. Yeah. I don't think it was a stream. I think you're right. I think it was just a YouTube video.
YouTube recording, yeah. I remember when I first got Marvel vs. Capcom 3, like, I was like, oh man, this is gonna be awesome. I remember I was like one of the idiots that went out and bought a strategy guide. Why do you buy a strategy guide for a 2D fighter? Stupid. $20 I'll never get back. But yeah, same thing. I was watching YouTube videos, but the ones I was, that I've been watching were not Evo videos. It was just people against dummy opponents who were not fighting back.
Oh, right.
So I figured, oh man, alright, I'm a master of this. So I remember I picked like, Nova.
Yep.
And I was like, oh man, I was pulling off like crazy combos, like, oh, this is gonna be awesome. And then the first time I played you, I got my ass beat and I just couldn't understand it. I'm like, but I have a strategy guide and I watch videos. It's a lot different when people are fighting back.
Right.
They're not gonna stand there and watch you like, oh, you pull off like a 90 hit combo. No. A real life opponent isn't gonna do that.
Yeah, just wait. Don't do anything.
Don't move.
Just don't move.
Don't move.
Don't move. You're not, trust me, this will be worth it.
Yep, this is gonna be awesome. But that's what blew me away about seeing those Evo videos, cause those people
are
fighting back.
They're doing it against live competition, yeah. Competition too, yeah.
They're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Did your opponent have a seizure? Why are they not doing anything?
that's when anybody sort of, and I somewhat get a little bit snarky about the whole pro gamer vibe, but at the same time, like, to see somebody that can do something like that, you know, that's sort of the definition of a professional, is somebody who can do something at such a high level that, you know, you want to watch them do it.
Oh, so, yeah.
I mean, I admittedly, I'm not very respectful necessarily of pro gamers, but at least I can respect the skill that goes into something like that, where you can do it in a live competition and just completely blow somebody away.
It's impressive.
Where they're trying and you're trying and...
Right, it's impressive. I mean, at the same time, get a real goddamn job.
Yeah, exactly. But, right. Yeah, we all like to play video games for a reason,
right.
But come on now.
Yeah. My girlfriend's awesome at Mario. Doesn't mean she's a professional gamer.
Professional Mario gamer.
I don't know, are there professional Mario? There should be professional Mario gamers.
That game's ridiculous. It makes me look like a fucking 6-year-old. I get so mad.
So you mentioned, let's see, Marvel vs. Capcom. Those are the ones that we generally play, the versus ones that just came out. It seems like those have brought back the Street Fighter games, because for the longest time it was Street Fighter 2, and then Street Fighter 2 Turbo, and then Super Street Fighter, and then Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, and then Super Street Fighter 2 Hyper Turbo. And then they made the movie, and then they made the video game based on the movie.
Can we talk about the movies for a second? Those were god awful.
Honestly, I don't think I've ever seen them. I don't think I've ever seen them. I know they exist only because the video game came out, I tried the video game, and then I never went back. It was the same kind of thing. It was the same as playing Street Fighter 1. Like, playing Street Fighter 2, the movie, I put my quarter in, and I'm like, what is this?
Do you hear that sound? It has a sound of the brakes being slammed on this podcast, because you need to watch those. No, I'm joking, don't watch. It's time you'll never get that.
I've seen the Mortal Kombat movie, the first one. I don't think I've seen any other ones after that, but I definitely saw the first Mortal Kombat movie. I never saw any of the...
You see the Street Fighter movie? Jean-Claude Van Damme?
No, I did not.
He should have been euthanized after that. That was terrible.
Like I said, I know they exist because the video game came out and I tried the video game and I just said no. I might have seen it, but it was so memorable that it's not there. Like,
you're,
I
traumatized.
Know
it exists,
but
you blocked it.
I blocked it out from my memory. But there was all of that nonsense, and then, you know, Street Fighter 3 kept getting teased, and then it never happened, and then it finally did happen, but by the time it happened, I don't think I cared anymore.
Well, I think it only came out, wasn't it? It was just on Sega Dreamcast.
Yeah. You're right, yeah.
So that was Street Fighter 3 third?
Originally, yeah, it came out on Dreamcast, right?
Yeah.
Which didn't have.
Way to back the winning horse there, Capcom.
No kidding. Then I think you reintroduced me with Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
I think we played the second one.
Second one.
Yep.
And then you reintroduced me back into the whole Street Party. And then since then, I've been back on the boat. Not that I'm necessarily going to go out and invest in the latest Street Fighter game, but the Versus games. I definitely like the Versus games. Those are definitely worth it.
Yeah, those are fun. Those are just fun.
Yeah, it's fun, and it's only, I think they're only fun if you're playing against somebody. Like, I've tried playing it a couple times at home, because I picked up either the second or the third one.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried playing it at home, but it's just not the same.
Yeah.
Playing against a computer, even.
Yeah, it's a lot different. I, the only reason I picked up Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was because I remember when we used to be roommates.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you had the Sega Dreamcast.
Yep.
And you had it for the Sega Dreamcast, yeah. And I remember playing it on there. Yeah, the only time it's fun is playing each other.
We did play it back then, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we just got back into it.
Yeah.
When we touched base again.
Yep.
It's fun because you get the whole trash talk going on and,
me throwing a fit, let's be honest. Yeah,
the two of us, right, getting upset because the other guy just pulled off that Super Mega Ultra combo that killed us from 50% health.
Oh, I get so mad every time we play.
Anyways.
Painful memories. But all of our games are pretty close, though.
Yeah.
It usually comes down to that last punch, and that's what makes me want to impale my controller in the wall.
Yeah, one of us will get a huge lead, and then the other one will come back, and
it's
always that one last little pink.
Yep, that little jab.
That little jab punch that you just don't see coming.
And that's all you need to do. Like, it's been a couple of times. All you do is jab you and you're done.
Yep.
And no, I have to be the cool guy. I'm like trying to mess around and I don't know why I'm doing this motion in my hands. You people can't see my hands, but. Oh, I gotta pull off this ultra mega 18 hit combo. I only need a jab. Yep. What happens? The minute I start powering it up, I stop for a second, charging it up. Yeah, you walk over. Punch me straight in the mouth, and it's over.
Game over.
And that is it. Speaking of game over, I think that's the end of our digital playground for the month.
Maybe game over for us for this month, but be sure to listen all the way to the end for a special segment on our Gamers Resolutions for 2015. Thanks again for listening. Join us next month when we talk about Fate Reforged, the new Magic expansion, and we'll also talk about the Xbox 360 version of Diablo 3, our first impressions of that game after we check it out. Check us out on the web, www.the-ec.info/2guysgaming. If you take the 2guysgaming off, you can get to the main site with articles about other pop culture stuff like sports, movies,
just awesome.
Television.
And Sean's miraculous NFL picks.
Miraculous NFL picks so far. Up until this point, I am 7-1 in the playoffs. I don't know how the Denver Broncos game ended, but it wasn't looking good, so.
Come on, Indy. Only because I know New England can smoke Indy.
Also, drop us a line by email at noobandblonde@gmail.com. While you're at the website, comment on the articles.
Please.
Please. We really want to hear what you guys think. And that's it for the show.
That is it.
This is 2guysgaming, signing off.
Thanks for listening, guys.
We are 2guysgaming.
Okay, so it's the new year. We're pushing reset on the podcast to get things rolling again. Hopefully we'll be able to do it every month. People often make resolutions, which I hate, but I figured we could talk about some gamer resolutions because we're always talking about things that we'd like to do as gamers to sort of get away. And maybe if we actually put them into audio form to where we can revisit at the end of the year or revisit in a couple of months and say, well, you know, you said that in January you were going to, for example,
play the games I actually buy. Yeah.
That is a big one. I wrote an article last year, I think it was in October, I don't remember, it's on the website, you can find it, about how I go into Walmart or I go into GameStop and there's the $5 bin or there's the $10 bin and I buy $50 worth of games and I put them in my closet and they sit there in the wrapper.
Yeah.
Don't know how many games I have that are still in a wrapper. I know that I have Mass Effect 1, maybe Mass Effect 3, one of the Fallout games, just sitting in the wrapper.
At least I unwrap mine. I feel like a lot less of a failure right now.
That is definitely a good one. That's one that I came up with too, where, and even the games that I unwrap, you know, I get about halfway done. Like, I think I finally just finished Arkham City. And before that, it took me a couple months to finish Arkham Asylum, and I'm still in the middle of Fallout 3.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, sometimes you just get comfortable with, like, the lineup of games that you currently play, and it seems like a great idea when you're at the store. You see that low price tag, and you jump all over it, and you're like, yeah, it's a great deal, why not? But then, is it really a great deal if it's just sitting on the shelf?
I know, it's it's $5, I might as well just set it on fire.
Right.
It's the same kind of thing.
Or you can just send it to me. I mean,
light on fire. You can buy a game that you're not going
to play. But yeah, it just, I definitely have to play the games I buy. I mean, I'm starting off pretty good this year. I can say that all the games that I got for Christmas, I have actually unwrapped them. I have put them into the machines, and I have played them for a few minutes, so I'm happy. Obviously, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I've been playing South Park a lot.
Right.
That kind of has all my attention right now. And as you notice, I've been absent from Hearthstone because of that. I've not been online playing Hearthstone. Hearthstone is one of those things that at first I despised it.
Right.
I think everyone knows I despised it. And then I got a tablet.
Yep.
And it's just right there in your face. Like, well, you hit the little thing and it's right there and you just start playing it because it's convenient.
Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, I spend quite a bit of time in the evenings and in the mornings while the kids are at school on the laptop doing different things, writing articles or editing stories or whatever. So you're on the computer, and like you say, it's just there. You know, there's that whole Battle.net thing, and you're like, oh, let's check Hearthstone. What's the daily quest for today? And then you play that, and you put it off to the side, and then it's, I don't know why I don't think to do that with the Xbox. Like, the kids are at school. I have the house to myself, at least now, while I'm not teaching.
It just seems like so much more work to go and put a disc in a machine and turn it on. We are so lazy.
So fundamentally lazy.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Maybe I just have to. No, because the kids know the code now. The kids know the parental code because they need the code to get into Netflix. So I think I finally just told them what their stinking parental code was so that they could get into Netflix. I put it on there originally because, you know, the games that I play, some of them aren't appropriate for them. And if I happen to leave it in there, then
yeah,
I don't want them wandering into Dead Rising or whatever. So, yeah, I guess I can't just leave the disc in there anymore. I don't know, yeah. But that's definitely one that I have to work on, too.
Yeah.
And I've had to work on for a while. I guess I just have to walk away from the computer and just say, you know what, I'm done with my stupid quest for Hearthstone.
Yeah, yep. There's no point in playing.
There's no point in even opening up. There's not even any point in looking at it or wait until tomorrow.
Yep.
So just walk away from it or just, I mean, I can edit a story on the computer while I'm playing a game.
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing about Hearthstone, too, is that it's turn-based. Maybe that's what I have to do. Maybe I have to find, like, a turn-based RPG or something like that I could get back into so that, you know, in between turns or whatever, I can look at the story and edit the story. Because that's what I do in Hearthstone is I click while the other person's taking their time to figure out that they need to play their only one drop in their hand.
Yeah, yeah.
I go and I edit the story for about a minute or two, read a couple pages of the story. So maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe I need to find some kind of turn-based.
Well, do you have a 3DS?
Yeah, if I can. Well, Liam will be at school, so.
You should borrow my copy of Dragon Quest IX, then. If you like that.
That takes up a lot. Have you ever played the Advance Wars game? Have you ever played the Advance Wars?
I used to. I actually sold one of them. I've been meaning to pick them back up. That was one of the games I regretted.
Because I like those games a lot.
That war strategy? Yeah. That's right down your alley.
Yeah.
I mean, everything you do is strategy-based, so.
That could be a fun game to pick up.
Yeah, definitely.
I have the subscription to Gamefly, so I can probably just grab one from there and
pick up a second Game Boy SP and get the little connector cable. I mean, what's that going to cost us, like $20?
Yeah.
Get a copy of it. Get two copies of the game. We'll sit here and...
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
yeah, that's a good idea.
Just something to get out.
Yeah. You got any other resolutions? Or?
Well, we were talking, and you said something about Magic, kind of trying to keep it fresh. We said, you know, we were talking about WoW earlier, and that keeps it fresh a little bit, but the shelf life of that game, who knows how long that's going to be. We're also looking at some other games to try out to talk about on the podcast, like HeroClix and stuff like that. But even so, you know, Magic is sort of like the mainstay that we always come back to because
it's the backbone.
It's comfortable,
right?
And it's, you know, the game that we feel the most comfortable with. But you mentioned that you wanted to do something which you can talk about, and it's the same kind of thing that I found myself doing, is that you want to sort of get outside of your comfort zone. I guess it's the same kind of thing as we're talking about with the video games, where you fall back into, like for me, the way that I build a deck is usually I'll find a card, or I'll find a collection of cards, like we were talking online, and I said that I was going to try to build a wall deck and just see if, you know, I could critique the other person or just, I don't know, make them commit suicide because it's just a terrible thing to play against. But those are the kinds of decks that I build where it's just like, wow, I got all these wall cards. What can I do with all of these wall cards?
Right.
Or, you know, the first deck that I built to kind of play test against you was my goblin deck, where it was like, oh, I got all these goblins. You know, what can I do with these goblins type thing?
That deck was nuts, though. That was like...
Well, that's, I mean...
That was nutty, yeah.
It's funny that I stumbled on the RDW strategy. You heard about that, Red Deck Wins?
Yep.
Where it's just, you know, you get into it and you're like, oh, yeah, this is low-cost minions. I can just spam the board and...
That's it.
Just,
yeah.
just go...
Overrun
go crazy,
it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, as you alluded to, my other resolution is to not focus so much on building killer decks. I kind of recognized a few weeks ago that I complain a lot about these professional Magic websites and, you know, all the professionals on there writing articles about this card's crap, if you play this card, you'll never win a tournament match in your life. And I found a lot of my decks are kind of geared towards being, like, killers. I'm not saying, like, I win a majority of our games or anything, but you know, like, some of my decks are, like, highly competitive. Like, I mean, they're fun to play, but at the same point, like,
fun to play against.
Yeah, they're meant to kill you. Right. Yeah, yeah. And I kind of, you mentioned your goblins, you have a vampires deck.
Yep.
And I kind of want to get into building... like, fun decks. Like, something that has a theme, but it's fun. It's not like, I need to build a Graveyard Dredge deck because that's, like, the newest tournament thing. I just want to build one of those decks and, you know, and start looking at deck lists online. And they're like, oh, man, this one won, like, you know, a qualifying match. Right. Like, I think I have a majority of those cards. I'll put that together. Like, what the hell tournament am I playing in? I don't play in tournaments. What the hell am I doing? Like, no, I just need to get back to the fundamentals of Magic, which is that it's a fun game.
Yeah.
I don't need killer decks.
Right.
So that's one of my resolutions. I want to get back to just having fun. I mean.
That's what it's all about.
That's exactly. Exactly. Anything else?
Nothing that I can think of.
All right. Well, I look forward to failing on all my resolutions.
Just like people normally do.
Yes.